We're continuing to think about God's mission for the church during this Lenten season. As we do, I invite you to turn in your Bibles or follow along on the screen or in your order of worship as we read our text for today. It's two verses from 2 Peter. We are reading chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. I invite you to hear these words on this Palm Sunday. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Today is, of course, Palm Sunday. Earlier in our service this morning, we read the passage of the events of this day, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Our children and Jessica helped us to envision the day when palm branches were waved and a parade happened. Shouts of Hosanna today on this joyous occasion we remember. It was indeed a festive, joyful occasion for everyone except Jesus. Jesus was the only one on Palm Sunday who really knew what was happening on that day. And as we read that passage in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, there is this foreboding sense of doom and tragedy that casts itself around Jesus. It's an aura that he cannot escape. Even in the festivities and the celebration, Jesus knew that while the people were welcoming in a new political king in their eyes, he was a dead man walking. He was a man walking directly toward punishment and death. I've often wondered what was happening in his mind and in his heart as the juxtaposition of the scene and his reality come in conflict on that day. What was happening in the mind of Jesus? What was he thinking? How was he feeling? The gospel writers don't open that door for us. They don't let us inside the mind of Jesus. But I do believe the gospels give us some clues. I think on that Palm Sunday, the most significant weight on the mind of Jesus was not for himself. It was not what was about to happen to him. As much as he did not want to go to the cross, and as much as he would plead with God in the Garden of Gethsemane to help him escape this punishment and death, I believe his heart and his mind and his greatest concern were on his followers. I believe that he was worried about what would happen to them. How would they handle his death? What would happen in the days and weeks and months following his death? How would they deal with the absence of him in their lives? I believe this matter greatly affected and impacted Jesus during the last week of his earthly life. And I believe this because of what happens in the week following Palm Sunday, especially what happens in the events of the upper room. We remember in those last few hours Jesus had with his disciples before he left this earth, in those last few moments, those last few hours, he had an extended conversation with his disciples that is recorded in the Gospel of John. And I believe in that conversation, Jesus tells us about the matters that were most pressing and important to him. Think about some of the things Jesus said in the upper room. He said to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He followed that by saying, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you of everything that I have said. He followed that with this beautiful example of saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. In other words, Jesus was saying, as you remain in me, you will do what? You will grow spiritually. You will produce fruit for God's kingdom. All through this final conversation with his disciples, Jesus talked about the need for his disciples to grow in their faith. You see, Jesus knew that the disciples were not finished growing simply because Jesus would soon leave them. In fact, the opposite was true. These disciples had only just begun to grow spiritually. So Jesus promises them that the Holy Spirit would come and to help them continue to grow in their faith. The Holy Spirit would be present with them in the days and weeks to come. The Holy Spirit would be their comforter, yes, their friend, their companion. But you remember also he said their teacher. One of the favorite titles the disciples gave to Jesus was the title Rabbi, teacher. Who would teach them when Jesus was gone? Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will be your comforter, your friend, your presence, your teacher. The Holy Spirit would help them grow in their faith, and indeed they did. Their spiritual growth is evident in the changes that happened following Jesus' death and resurrection. Think about the changes that these disciples implemented into the life of faith. They exchanged circumcision for baptism, following the example of Jesus himself. They began worshiping on Sundays instead of Saturdays, in part to commemorate the death and resurrection of their Lord and Savior. They started churches, local congregations, all across their known world that would replace the temple as the site and the group and the family of worship. These are just a few of the many changes that the disciples made following the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But all of those changes came about because of the spiritual growth that happened in the disciples' life following the events of that first Holy Week. The past five Sundays, we have been focused on God's mission for the church. We've talked about what God wants, what God expects from us as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. If we are to be the church God wants us to be, we've talked about the essential functions God wants and needs from us. This morning, on this last Sunday before Easter, we turn our attention to what I believe was at the very heart and core of the mind of Jesus during his last week on earth. How can I help my followers grow in their faith when I'm gone? Our two verses of scripture this morning confirm our need for spiritual growth. As Peter finishes his second letter to his Christian friends, he writes these words, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is our pressing need as Christians, to identify our strengths, to recognize our weaknesses in our spiritual life, and to make decisions to grow in our faith." This season of Lent that we have experienced is a time of reflection. It's a time set aside every year for us as Christians to look inward, to take an honest assessment of our spiritual lives, to identify places in our lives where we need to grow in our faith and become more like Christ. And I hope that over the past few weeks, You have been able to spend time in prayer and reflection and meditation, thinking about your relationship with Christ and identifying and recognizing those places where you need to grow. It is such an important part of the Lenten journey. But now Easter is coming. It's a week away. And the question for us now is, how do we continue this spiritual growth? How do we make spiritual growth a part of our ongoing life once the Lenten season and Holy Week and Easter have come and gone? It was a central, if not the central matter, on the heart and mind of Jesus during the last week of his life. How can we grow in our relationship with Christ? This morning, I want to offer just a few thoughts to wrap up this Lenten season and help us to think about spiritual growth moving forward. Number one, as we think about what our text says today, as we are to grow in our grace and knowledge of Christ, we start with the realization that we need to grow spiritually. We can never move beyond where we are without the starting point in our spiritual life that we recognize we need to grow and mature in our life. In Greek mythology, we read about Minerva. Minerva sprang from the mind, the brain of Jupiter, and when she came forth, there was no growth needed. She presented as a fully developed, fully grown adult. But that's mythology. And we know in all of our lives that that never happens. It doesn't happen to us physically. It doesn't happen emotionally. It doesn't happen to us mentally. And it certainly doesn't happen to us as Christians spiritually. The Bible says that when we begin our journey of faith, we are like newborns and we're dependent upon that pure spiritual milk so that we can begin to develop and to grow spiritually. But as we develop, the Bible says, we no longer depend upon milk, but instead we find ourselves craving solid food. We recognize our need to grow. One person has written, what does it mean to grow up? It means being fully developed, having marks of wisdom, not just knowledge. It means the self-discipline and commitment of an authentic walk with Christ 7 days a week. It is the determination to obey God and to submit to the truth of God's word at any cost. Another person has said it well. Maturity is moving from soft skin and tough heart to tough skin and soft heart. I love that image. Our spiritual growth begins and ends with our recognition of our need to grow as Christians. Secondly, I would encourage you today as you consider your spiritual growth to adopt a or some spiritual giants in your life as heroes of faith. Adopt someone that can be your mentor and your guide in your spiritual life. This adoption is a great way to grow spiritually. These individuals can come from many places. You may find someone in Scripture who you find yourself connecting with. I would encourage you, adopt that person as your hero of faith, as your spiritual giant. Study that person's life. See the lessons that person learned about their walk of faith and apply it to your life. In other words, let their story become part of your story. That's a wonderful way to grow in our faith. But you can also adopt heroes of faith in other ways. You can adopt a historical person who had a spiritual walk of faith that you admire. You can adopt someone in this church or in this community or in this family of faith or in your own family who is a spiritual giant for you. You may adopt someone who is a Christian author or writer. You find that person's words connecting with your soul and speaking to your experience of life. If so, adopt that person as your spiritual hero. Learn from that person to grow in your faith as Christ would have us to do. Also this morning, I would encourage you following this Lenten season to set some specific goals in your spiritual life. Ask yourself some important questions. What kind of Christian would you like to be? What kind of spiritual discipline might you need to develop in your life? What kind of spiritual discipline, like prayer or Bible reading or service to others, is the greatest need in your life that needs to be developed and strengthened? Maybe ask, what kinds of attitudes, what kinds of actions do you need to discard or get rid of in your life so that you can attain the highest goals of your spiritual life that God has for you? What can you do to become a more faithful follower of Christ? These questions are significant questions, and these kinds of questions can help us to prioritize the things that we should be focusing on in our life. Maybe they will call you to make a list. Write it down, put it in your phone or a tablet, but make a list of some of the spiritual needs and goals you have in your life so that you can look at them, you can pray over them. And when we make that list, we can prioritize the things that we need to do to grow in our faith. What kind of goals might you want to include on such a list? You might set a goal to read through the Bible in a few months or over the course of a year if you've never done that. You might set a goal to spend 5 or 10 or 15 more minutes in prayer every day. You might set a goal to read a number of books that will feed your soul and orient you toward the living of the life of faith. You might set a goal to go on a mission trip, to go on a spiritual retreat. You might set a goal to start a new ministry or to participate in an existing ministry. Or God may lead you to come up with your own unique spiritual goal that will help you grow in your life of faith. These goals can encourage us to develop a deeper, more meaningful relationship with Christ. And briefly, while we're on this topic, let me say one more word about setting goals. When you set these goals, I encourage you to share your goals with somebody else. You will be amazed at the accountability and how that will impact the work that you do on a goal. If you set a goal and never tell anyone, it's easy for you to put that goal aside. But if you set a goal and tell someone else, another faithful Christian friend, to hold you accountable, that accountability can change your spiritual life. Finally, this morning, I would say, to grow in our faith, we can translate our intentions into actions. We can commit ourselves to a new pattern of conduct for each of the goals that we establish. One person said, "There is no couch potato growth." In other words, there is no growth that happens in our lives if we don't put it into action, if we don't move beyond intentions to actions. The key is to do something we have never done before spiritually so that we can experience a walk of faith that we have never experienced before. If we want to grow in grace, as we read about in our scripture verses for this morning, then we decide to do something differently. If we want to be more giving, we act. We begin to give more. If we want to grow in our knowledge, then we act. We decide to study more, to read more, maybe even to teach a Sunday school class, to help teach a class, to do something that motivates us to grow in our knowledge. I read this week, the only way to accomplish great things in your spiritual life is to try or attempt great things. If we never try or attempt those great things, we never move beyond where we were. This morning, our scripture passage reminds us that growing in faith is the process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit Jesus tells us, begins to work within us and develops the process of making us more like him, conforming us to his image. And I believe this matter was so important, one of the primary concerns for Jesus during his last week here on earth. The words of the song that we heard earlier, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" they perfectly describe the heart of Jesus during his last week here on earth. Listen again to just some of the words. And as you hear these words, imagine the face of Jesus on Palm Sunday. Imagine the face of Jesus in the upper room saying these very words to you. "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let your love, my love, be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you?" Today on this Palm Sunday, Jesus asks each one of us, "Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me?" Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this Palm Sunday, as we move into Holy Week, thoughts and attentions turn toward Jesus during the last week of his earthly life. Help us this week to think about the matters that were most important to him. And this week, Lord, help us to prioritize our own spiritual growth. For we know, Lord, it is what you want for us. Give us strength and courage to find ways to continue beyond the Lenten season to grow in our walk with you. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.